Okay, so we're starting from the paragraph, to continue where we were, Hachadira Levifnim. I don't remember which page.
Hachadira Levifnim?
Yeah, page 12. Oh, mine is also 12. So that's different. Print.
Hachadira Levifnim?
Yeah. Hachadira Levifnim, the penetrating to the inside, meaning, like we've been discussing, like, right, really trying to get inside what's going on and not sufficing with the superficial take on something, the way things, you could throw it, the way something looks externally, but rather getting down into the real pnimius of something. Vasimcha ba'atid, and the happiness in the future. Right, because when you, like we said, when you get to the pnimius and you really uncover and you really discover what's going on inside of this kind of ugging situation, and you realize that it's real, there's really a move forward in the depths of the story. There's really a desire and a move towards Hashem, even though it might look exact opposite. Right? It's a tremendous paradox, which very often what looks like it's a move away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is a crying out of the neshama for the Rebbeinu Shleilam. So when you get to that, it brings a certain simcha, a certain happiness be'atid in the future. So that penetrating into the insides of the story and the happiness then that a person can take in the future, lahavlig al yadam al yagon ahove, and to kind of be able to, what's the word, the English word for lavlig, use it when it comes to, like, you know, with wars, about lavlig, not to
restrain,
right, to restrain oneself from, I guess, restraint as far as not getting into a sorrow state over the present. Okay, in other words, you don't let it affect you negatively and get you depressed and get you sad by looking at what's going on around here. Look at what's going on in the Jewish people. Look at this Jewish person, the way he's behaving. And you, if you're able to get into the depths and kind of tap into what's in the pnimius of the Jewish people, so you're able to keep a certain simcha and keep away from the what would be a natural yogoin, a natural sorrow, a natural,
that's know, true about anything upset. Bad.
Oh yeah, so I want to talk about that. Yes, it's interesting. I remember one time I went into the Boston Rebbe over here that lived in Mechemesh, Zatzal, and before Rosh Hashanah. So, you know, you go to the Rebbe, so you bring, you know, Akvital, whatever, with the names, you know. So he looks down the list, he said, you know, it's hard when you're raising kids. It's not easy. You have a lot of different difficulties and a lot of different and it's hard to enjoy it, so to say, while you're going through it. But he said you have to be able to look at the future and know that down the line you're gonna bez Hashem get nachas from them. Like, yeah, you get as a parent you get nachas, you know, but you're also like so, you know, you have so many difficult things that you have to deal with the kids, even good kids. So, you know, it impinges possibly on the simcha of a person. Whereas if you're able to have that vision towards the future and know that the problem is that we're very often doubtful about the payoff in the future. We're worried about the payoff in the future. But that's what he's saying, is that, you know, don't worry about it. In the future, you're going to have nachas from the kids, and you'll see it all, you know, turns around, especially if the parents are, you know, have kavanas tevas, their intentions are good, their intentions are for the benefit of the kid, not for the benefit of the parent. It's one of the big things that I always say, is you should be looking out for the good of your kids and not for the good of yourself when you're raising them. But so if that's the case, then Be'ez Hashem, there will be a good payoff. You'll get nachas in the future. In any case, it's the same yisoy that he's saying over here, is that you can really find yourself in a state of happiness. You could find simcha even going through the trials and tribulations. Adarabba, knowing that those trials and tribulations are part of the process that's going to bring that payoff at the end of the day, and that the future simcha is going to be built off of this process, which is somewhat difficult to go through. So, hachadira lebefnim v'simcha atid v'levlig al yadam al hayagon hahove, right? So that penetrating into the pnimius and the simcha in the future and being able to restrain from getting into a matzav into a situation of sorrow over the presence. Hein hein ha'avodot hakdoshot shezore aleihen harbe mishvivei or nishmato shabi akiva. These are the holy avodas, right? The holy work that the neshama of Rabbi Akiva really shines on them, like throws like glimmers of light, you know, shimmerings of light onto them. That comes, this ability comes, really stems from the neshama of Rabbi Akiva. Shigam be'es shira'u shu'al yoytzi mi'beis kodshei hakadoshim. That even at the time where he saw a fox coming out of the beis kodshei hakadoshim, right, on the Har HaBayis, v'eschilu kulam b'ichim, and all the others that he was with began to cry, Rabbi Akiva misachek. Now, realize it's obviously, you know, we have to try to put ourselves into that situation. It's a very, very painful story. They go, and they had seen, really, Rabbi Akiva and the others he was with had seen the Beis HaMikdash, had seen it built. And to go and see it destroyed is a very, very painful thing. Terribly painful thing. So they start crying, which is the natural reaction to seeing something so tragic. And Rabbi Akiva is laughing, which is unbelievable. Like, you know, we say, like, what are you, crazy? Is something wrong with you? Rabbi Akiva misachek. He smiles. He's happy. The fishekachi amida. And so we know the Chazal explained that, he's going to bring it in a second, that since he saw before him the nevuah of destruction, so he realized that the nevuah of salvation, of Geula, is also going to take place. So, yeah, it looks a horrible, horrible situation currently, but Adarabba, this current horrible situation testifies what's going to be in the future. And he's able to take simcha in the future, even when the current state is so opposite to that future state. And so he explains here, Rabbi Akiva Masachek, why does he smile? Why does he laugh? The fishekachi amida, because that's the mida. Shachurban vaheres heim tamid me'ein atikun vabinyan. The churban and the destruction and the destruction is always similar to the rectification and the building. They always parallel each other, always similar to each other. Except that as long as they're still in their raw state, hinan bitmuna shel churban veheres. So then they're in the picture of destruction. The pasuk tied together the nevuah of Zechariah with the nevuah of Uriah. So that you see that the churban is dependent, I'm sorry, that the geula is dependent on the churban. The future simcha of having the Beis HaMikdash is dependent on that destruction. Because, really, and this is a deep Kabbalistic idea, is there's no difference between the state of Golos and the state of geula and the state of Churban. You know, interesting, the word Churban is also the Lashon of Chibur, of attachment, right? Churban is destruction, and Chibur is the exact opposite. Yerushalayim ki'ir she'chubra l'yachtov is the city that everything is brought together, the Shvatim are all brought together. Togetherness is the opposite of destruction and falling apart. And Golos and Geula, the Maharal, at the beginning of Netzach Yisrael, shows that the root letters of both are Gimel Lamed, Gala Gaal. No difference is the hand and the Aleph. He goes into that. So you see the same idea, and I'll repeat the Kabbalah of the Arizal and the Rishash. What differentiates between the state of Tohu, the state of chaos, and the state of Tikkun, which is the state of vivification, is just the way the material is organized. That's really what he's saying over here. Is that when it's in a straight, that when the materials are in a raw state, which means they're not being, they haven't been used. I'll give you an example, right? What's the difference between a building? Yeah, that's a good example. You take a building, you blow it up. What's the difference between the building when it was standing and the building? The materials are all there. Right? The materials, the same materials are now just in a heap, right? In a destroyed heap. And before they were in an organized way, and you had a building that you were able to use and have benefit from. So the only difference between the destroyed state and the fixed up and the built state is just the way it's put together. And it's just, you've changed the order, so to say, or you've organized it, you've ordered the materials. So it's the same thing, the Geula, the Geula is built on the Galus. It's the Galus, what you see in Galus is the raw materials for the Geula. And what you see in the Churban is the raw materials for the Beis HaMikdash standing. And obviously we're talking not just on the physical sense, we're talking about something deeper. You get to the principles, and that's really what the Maral does actually in Netzach Yisrael, right? He says, okay, these are the three principles that define Galus, and now we understand Geula is the reversal of that, right? Because the Galus and the Geula parallel each other, they define each other. That's really what it is. The destruction and the building define each other, opposites define each other. Rabbi Akiva, we'll continue here. Rabbi Akiva, Asher, Gnizas, Oitze, Nishmosoi, Meirozin, the Machshava, Shtoi, Kach, Olib, Machshava, Lefanai. And Rabbi Akiva, whose treasure house, right, of his neshama, like the hidden treasure of his neshama, is from the secret of Machshava, which is quiet. Kach, Olib, Machshava, Lefanai, right, we know that was the answer. How could you have a tzaddik dying, being killed and tortured, right? So shtoy kach olam machshava. He said that no, just be quiet. This is the oilam of shtika, the oilam of machshava, the oilam of just quiet. This is the way the Rebbeinu Shalom decides. Don't ask questions. That's Rebbe Kiva's neshama is holding high up in that place of quietness, in that place of shtika, of machshava. Hanalami calls man, which is above all time. So therefore, nisbatel etzlo hayogen shelohoive basimcha shelohasu. The sorrow of the future became nullified in the simcha of the future. He lives the future. If you live the future, meila, the sorrow of the current situation becomes batel in your excitement for the future. Right, everyone today is very much, the big word on the street today is mindful. To learn how to live in the present,
yeah.
And to learn how to live in the now, because people are so worked up and get so depressed over what's going to be. But this is even past that. No, really, even a more successful and a deeper way of enjoying the current state is not by living the now. Is by dafka living the future, but you realize that the future is optimistic and is positive because Rebbeinu Shem loves us. And Rebbeinu Shem really is here. Everything that he's doing for us is good and to bring us to a good state. Even things that don't look like it. If you're able to be Rabbi Akiva and, still when there's horrible, even at the point of torture and Masrekos Shel Barzel and iron, right, like just ripping his skin off and even still be happy. And realize that this is all for something very big, and then at that point of already death, Al Kiddush Hashem, we're talking about not for the future in Olam Hazeh, of course, we're talking about the future of Olam Haba. Okay, but that's really what the essence of existence is. The truth of existence, right, is Olam Hazeh is a very short time span, Olam Hazeh, and the ultimate is the Olam Haba. Right, so we're talking here in this Maimer, he's talking about the Nevuah, which is going to take place in this world, right? And obviously, that's a correct step and a true step is seeing and taking simcha in the future, Be'ez Hashem, in this world, especially with the Midas HaBitachon, it's not for now. That's the Midas HaBitachon really has the ability to bring that matzav of that positive outcome. But I'm saying even at the end where he's being skinned alive, and he knows he's now in the throes of death, instead of taking instead of being sad about it, he's Adraba. For him, there wasn't even out of the future. He was like, okay, I've been waiting for this. This is great. Shema Yisrael Hashem. But that's Rabbi Akiva. He's like, he only sees, it's all good by Rabbi Akiva. He sees everything in this positive light, in this good way. So
yeah, he still
says kinnas and dishes. Right. Yeah. That's
the bad is the spatel. The bad matzah now still machayek to live the bad matzah now.
No, so that's
cried on Tishba and say kinnas.
Yeah, that's mitzad the chiyuv. Mitzad the chiyuv that we have to in order to have the simcha of the future. Like it's a famous story with Napoleon, right? He walked in, whether it's true or not, right? It's told. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. The message is the important thing, right? That he walked in and he saw this Jewish people crying, whatever, on Tisha B'Av, and he said, oh, boy, if they're doing that after, so many years, close to 2,000 years, that they're still crying over what the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, then I know they're going to, whether it happened or not, that's the idea, is that we obviously need those times to focus on the pain, on the difficulties. For example, obviously, even if you have Simcha on the future, Rabbi Akiva also in those days, Davin, Mistama, crying also, whatever, Velushlai Mircha, Tikkun Chatzos, there's an Indian of crying in the 9 days. Darizo says even during the day to cry a half hour. He says at night, the whole year, a half hour, but during the day. So that all that is really a part of the picture. But as far as it's within the person's control. That's the difference, right? We spoke about these things in the Meimorim Shiurim. It's not something that's just part of him. He's being led there by the situation. That's a controlled tapping into, okay, this is our avodah right now, is the focus on the tsar of the Shechina and on the focus on the tsar that's in the current state. But when a person does that, he's still overall is in a state of happiness, in a state of simcha.
He's still doing avodah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, same.
The person has to be also sad about what's going on.
100%.
The Chil Hashem is going on.
100%.
He knows that behind it lies.
Right. 100%. That he's not saying not like that. He doesn't mean not like that. He's just saying that this kayach of seeing things in a deeper way and of seeing things seeing into the future, that's stemming from Rabbi Akiva. But of course, it doesn't negate. Like we said, this whole kind of attitude, this whole kayach hamachshava that we've been discussing, is not coming to negate the bad the way it is. It's not coming right. Yeah, of course you're supposed to be sad when seeing a yid mimachal Shabbos rachmal etzlan or whatever it is, and you're supposed to feel terrible, and you're supposed to cry to Hashem that Hashem should hashiveinu avinu b'sarei secha. He should bring Klal Yisrael back the tshuva, and then we're supposed to of course be emotional about that. At the same time, especially for the purposes of raising up Klal Yisrael and helping other people, we have to tap into the deeper state, which will allow us to connect them in a positive way rather than a negative light.
The Havdal of the Rambam does the same thing for Islam by saying that it's all coming, and Christianity, it's all coming to be Megala Yichud at the end of the day. You could do that, I'm saying, with any Raha.
And a Chanami.
So what's the difference between
and Echanami? It's true on a cosmic level. It's true on the level of the entire existence, that every single thing, even the worst that was, we spoke about in the earliest shiurim of this series, this is really ultimately all bringing the world to a tikkun. It's all part of the plan that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is bringing. Even he's using the Sitra Achra. He's using terrible, terrible evil sometimes to bring it along. But in Echanami, a person that gets that madrega of this, real penetration of the pnimius of what goes on, he'll be able to see even those things in a certain positive light, the way the Rambam was doing. The difference here is that sometimes right? There's two separate things. There's one is looking at the positive, even in the negative events, current events, looking at them as, okay, this is all part of Hashem's plan. So you're, if you want to say it like this, which is like not such a nice way to say it maybe, but like you're being Dan Lekav Zchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is it like, okay, he's not a bad God, right? All this is really part of the good plans, right? There are people that really look at that. There are people that are like, I don't want a God of, you know, Hashem Ish Mechama, a God of wrath, a God of anger, and of, you know, and they say, like, I don't want a part of that, I'm out, you know, as if that's going to help. But, on that level, it's really more looking at the overall plan, how everything is coming towards Yichud Hashem. But the difference over here by Jewish people and looking at their actions is that we're revealing that no, the Yid is always trying to get closer to Hashem, and even when it looks not like that, he's always, yeah. But Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's focus isn't even on that. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's focus specifically in this Maimer was more like, especially when they're doing it for the purposes of strengthening Klal Yisrael, like we mentioned last week. And there's different levels. It's true on any level, and it's true on, yeah, it's like I'm saying that there's a broad spectrum over here of where people are holding and what their motivations are on the previous level, not on the superficial level. For example, I'm applying the idea of looking into the premise of a Yid, even on a very individual level, where let's say a kid like becomes rebellious and goes off and whatever it is. So nothing to do with helping the Jewish people. He's not interested in helping the Jewish people. He's interested in having a good time. He's not doing anything, actually. You know, there's plenty of kids out there that are just doing nothing. They're just doing absolutely nothing. But they're in pain. The very fact that they're in pain, so a lot of times this is like just emotional stuff and the stuff in the family. There's all sorts of, yeah. But at the core, there's some kind of spiritual need. And it's a call for help. It's a call for, I want to be closer to Bnei Shalom. If a kid, yeah, is not matzliach, for example, and let's take it yes to the religious issues, because I would say most religious issues with kids have nothing to do with religion. Most of them have nothing to do with religion. It's just that because we're from Jews, and the frumer that you are, so the more wrapped up life is with the frum, right, the frumkeit. So the male, it expresses itself as if it's an issue with being frum. But if you really analyze it, it's very, very clear that it has nothing to do with being from. It has nothing to do with anything against the Torah. It's just that they have an issue with their parents, and they have an issue, you know, there's some kind of family problem, or there's whatever it is, or they suffer from different things, and nobody was able to deal with it, nobody knew how, or people don't have money to deal with it, and it gets worse and worse. But let's take a case where a kid is frustrated because he's not learning. It's very, very painful to see that. At the same time, like, Hey, he wants to learn. He wants to learn. Okay, you could have wants to learn because maybe he just wants to be successful. But there are kids there that really want to learn because they know they want to be a Talmud Chacham. They know that that's what they should do. And they really want to. And when it doesn't go well because for whatever reason, that frustrates them. And they might kind of backlash and go the opposite way, where really that leaving everything is an expression of their Avos Hashem and their Avos HaTorah that they... And they're in so much pain that this is like the escape route that they take.
And on a deep, deep, deep level, every Yid is like that, whether or not he knows about Yiddish Chavichah.
Right, because of what we said here in this Bimer over here is that the essence of a Yid is his neshama, which is pure, which is complete. I meant to say, I didn't say this last week, but it's really what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is coming from is, by the way, when he mentioned the chiluk of the klal and the prat. Last week we saw a chiluk between the klal and the prat. The klal Yisrael, he said, never ever did a chet. We saw this last week. So it's actually a Zohar. The Zohar says, Gmalasu toy v'loira kol yamei chaya. Learns it from the Pasuk that the Gmalasu toy v'loira, that's going on Klal Yisrael. Never, they always did only good, never any bad. Kol yamei chaya, all the days of its life. Fabulous, unbelievable Zohar. So that any time that there's something bad, it's coming from an identity crisis where the person has lost his connection to the Klal, which is his connection to his real himself. And it's really coming from some kind of outer influence of the goyim and whatever is ultimately, which is Los Lobos is going to get on their heads. They're going to get punished for our avers too. Okay, let's just at least let's go a little bit further here. So therefore, because he was at that level of the rose of the machshava, the secret of machshava, so that's a level that's above time. And Mimela, the yogain of the sorrow, the sorrow of the current of the present, became bottle, it becomes bottle, becomes nullified in the simcha, the happiness of the future. So that temporary situation, which is transient, it's going right. It didn't have the ability at all to weaken, even in the most, in the smallest measure, even for a moment. It didn't have the ability to weaken the unbelievable pleasure that the Rekiva felt for the future, which is going to be everlasting and remain. This smile, this laughing of Rabbi Kiva itself is also the cup of comfort that comes like cold water on a tired soul, to sweeten all the bitterness and all the sorrows and to turn them into good and happiness. Till they all agreed to him and said, Akiva, you've comforted us, Akiva, you've comforted us. And in this way, in this understanding, all the slow processes of the Ikvas of the Mashiach, of the time right before the Mashiach, it can be understood. So that the spiritual destruction that you see are really the raw materials of the tikkunim, of the fixing up that's going to take place. And all those who have that midah of Rabbi Akiva, they kind of like let go of the sorrow, and they're able to be happy, laugh, and rejoice in the inner good. And the whole content of their goal is to speak to the heart of the Jewish people, to comfort them, and to turn with this the bitter into sweet, the darkness into light. Which, by the way, the Goyin himself says that's the whole Tachas Habriya, is it's based on the Zohar, is to turn the bitter into sweet and the darkness into light. Revealing the depths from inside the darkness, that then goes out to light. Amalei Rabbi Tarfon, and this is based on Avos Rav Nosson. Avos Rav Nosson in Perek Vav. They said to Rabbi Akiva said to him, Akiva, Alecha Akosav Oimer, Mibchi Nahores Chibesh, Mibchi Nahores Chibesh with Taluma Yotzi Or, right? From like the crying, so to say, of the rivers, he healed you. Or he fixed up, he cured. V'taluma yotzi or, and the hiddenness like will let out light. Dvarim amustarim b'bnei adam hotziam Rabbi Akiva la'ora. Things that were hidden from people, Rabbi Akiva took out to the light. Right, he was able to show things that nobody else was able to see. He was able to show light that nobody else was able to tap into. Osim machshach lifneim la'or u'makshim l'mishor. I'll put the darkness before into light. That's a pasuk. I'm going to make the darkness into light, and the makshim, which are the stumbling blocks, to make it flat. Eilad var masisiv leazavtin masisim kvale b'kiva. I made them. I did them already. I did this already. Who did I do this to already? Who did I turn the crooked into straight? Who did I turn the darkness into light for? For b'kiva and his chaverim. For those, I did that. And I think that Rabbi Akiva possibly was holding at this level because he saw it himself. Right? We know that Rabbi Akiva himself, the Gemara says, hated, hated Talmidei Chachamim. He said, just bring them, I'll crush them, I'll rip them to pieces, I'll kill them. Rabbi Akiva was anti Talmidei Chachamim to an extreme. And then, you know, actually in that very piece in Ovis Rav Nosson, which is Perek Vav, so he makes that famous thing, right? He's looking at, he was 40 years old, he didn't learn a thing. And he's standing al pia be'er, he's standing by a well. Amar michaka kevenzun. He said, who carved out this stone? Amar lai. So they said to him, amayim shetadinoi from lebechol yayim. The water that's always falling onto that stone carved it out. It's falling daily. So alhayu Rav Akiva matmiyaze. Amar lai. Right? Rav Akiva's like, wow, little water, soft water, can like carve out an entire stone. So Amar lai. He said, Akiva, iata kari avonim shachaku mayim. You know, well, you don't learn a thing. Which, yeah, no, I don't learn a thing. There's a pasuk in Iyov. The stones there, you know, were carved. The water carved them out. So miyada Rav Akiva don kal v'chaymer ba'atzma. Immediately he made that kal v'chaymer, which we know ma'arach pasul asakasha. If something soft is able to carve out something tough, something hard, divrei Torah shekasha kabarzel. So then the divrei Torah, which are hard like iron, right? Alachas kama v'chama she yachkeku as libi shubaser v'dam. Then certainly they can carve out my heart, which is flesh, which is soft, like Rav Akiva. But the point is, Rav Akiva turned around literally just from what and almost like in an instant, you see, from the, like, that's the way it sounds over here. It's like he just, like, he suddenly had this epiphany out of nowhere, even where he said, like, and then of course Rabbi Akiva goes from to the opposite extreme and comes to Gadol Hador and leads the Jewish people. So I think that especially because Rabbi Akiva saw it in his own life, it's interesting. Akiva, the name Akiva is Lashon of Akev, is the heel, it's like the lowest. Right, there's a lesson of the heel, right? And he goes from the, we know, like, Yaakov is the name for the lower Bechin of Klal Yisrael, and Yisrael is the higher name, right? And Akiva goes from being Akiva to Rebbe Akiva, to being Gadol Hadar. I think if anybody is able to appreciate the how Dafka the Choshech is the seed for the light, how Dafka the destruction and the distance from the Bein Shalom is the seed for the big a connection to the Baruch Shalom, it's Rabbi Akiva was able to do that. And that's let's read one more paragraph. I think we'll stop with this. We basically got the rest, the end idea. You know, it's late. Atzfiya muka shel imro isa dor mecharef megadev tzapei l'ragla shemashiach. I wanted you to see this because this is a psikta der of Kahana in this exact lashon. And it's a piska hey ois tes. In Shir Shirim, the Medrash Rabbah and Shir Shirim, and other places, it uses a different lashon. It uses imra isa dor achar dor. If you see generation after generation, but in the Yalkut and the Psikta of Kana, it brings this lashon. If you see a generation, mecharefu megadef, they're cursing out the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Terrible. You see a generation, like, that's not just a bunch of individuals. You see a generation which is cursing out and shaming the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Tzapei l'ragli shemashiach. Then look forward to the regal, to the foot of Mashiach. Meaning, that's a simen that Mashiach is coming. Einenu tzfiya ba'alma, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. It's not just a way of looking forward to something. It's not just tzapei, look forward to it. Ela she avoided gedoyla kedoyshe leslamid ech letzapois ech litzpois be'en chayderes ela pnimish kol david dover latzlifa lemala. It's an instruction. It's an avoided gedoyla, tremendous avoid, and a holy gedoyla to train oneself how to see with that penetrating eye into the pnimius of every single thing, and how to like switch it up and like, you know, put it up to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Lishlal is kol achiruf agid v'chitzoni, to negate, to reject the whole external cursing, the whole external shaming of the Rebbeinu Shleilam, al yedei gilui roza kilus apnivi, by revealing the hidden secret of the inner praise, vaschoik hakodesh hazeh. Right, that, like I said, very often, all too often, maybe always, right? Dafka the big bizoyin against Rebbeinu Shleilam, the cursing out against religion, the anti-religion is dafka the biggest screaming. That I want the Rabbeinu Shalem, but I'm in so much pain that I'm not Matzliach for whatever reason. I'm in so much pain that I can't get myself to do it, that I'm turning the opposite way and cursing out instead of really trying to figure out my way. But that's dafka in itself is really a shevach of the Rebbeinu Shalom. We know that, like, we know that who are the most anti. It's dafka, like dafka the Jews, right? The more intolerant, or the more, right, the more viciously against. If a person's in a workforce, I mean, this I've you know, known stories and seen things like this where, you know, the guy may have no problem. You tell them I'm a religious Jew. I don't shake hands with a woman. And you know, they're like, oh, okay, they're very respectful. You know, I can't come to Shah, I can't come Yom Kippur. I can't, very respectful. You tell it to, like, you tell some of these stuff to you know, a non-from Jew, and they'll attack. The guy has no problem with it because it's dafka. That's a simon that he believes it. The guy doesn't care. He's not connected to one or the other. Okay, you have your mishigas, Everybody has different mishigas, you know? What's the big deal? But this guy, it really irks because he's connected. He's connected and he's not doing it. That's painful. So that really is the biggest statement of emunah b'Hashem and emunah in the Torah. And if we have the ability to kind of to be megala that, that's the midah. That's what he says. Haschoik hakadosh said, this holy schoik is the midah of Rabbi Kiva. Lo levad, and then this is the most important part. Lo levad shein negorim chilul shum esrashlus bechiyuv ikdushas hamayis and bechol zirusim v'dikdukam. Not only does this not chas v'shalom, because everyone's worried, well, if you're going to look at them positively and you're going to look at it, so it's going to cause you to go down in your own kiyum of halacha. It's going to cause other people. It's going to cause, right, weakening and keeping halacha because you're looking there positively and you're, you know. So it's going to cool you off. No, it doesn't do anything like that. El adrav, just the opposite. Tosfos oimitz brings extra strength. V'harbis chizuk hu garim, and it causes tremendous chizuk. It's not going to have any negative effects. Don't worry about it. It's going to do the exact opposite. And you know something? The reason that is because it's totally, it's a vort in emuna in Klal Yisrael. If you have emuna in the Jewish people, then you know that they really are connected to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So you know that this is true. It's not stam a kunz. It's not saying this is the truth. And therefore, they want it just as much as you want it, even though they're fighting you, and even though they're saying, no, I don't want it. I think Rav Dessler writes, I believe, when a Jew tells me something, I believe anything he says. The only thing I will not believe is if he tells me I don't believe in God. He's lying. If he says I don't believe in God, he's lying. Like, if you realize that that's the truth, is that the Yid is mechubra, the Yid is connected at all times to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and really wants. And whatever's going on is coming from, you know, whatever. You need a psychologist for what's going on, you know? But, so then, how could you think it's going to bring a hisrashlus? How could you think it's going to bring a weakening in halacha and bring a, you know, no, Adarabba, this is the real thing. The real thing is Torah. The real thing is, the Baal Shem Tov said that he came into this world for three things, right? For Avos Hashem, Avos HaTorah, and Avos Yisrael. It's that part, the Avos Yisrael is a part of the Avos HaTorah, and it's part of the Avos Hashem. It's part of the Kutcher Rech Yisrael Varei, so you can't divide them. You can't think you're going to keep the Torah at its max without chapping what the godless of Klal Yisrael is. It's impossible. And with the same thing, you can't have proper Avos Yisrael, like we mentioned, without having proper Avos HaTorah and Avos Hashem. These are, they're all part of one equation. I stand on connected to the Parsha Shavua, if you don't mind, another 2 minutes here. That I thought on Shabbos, you know, there's many different halachim of what the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu was with the, right? So the Rambam says, which we learn it yet together. I don't remember if we came on it. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe speaks about it. Shimu na hamoyrim. The Rambam Shito is that Moshe Rabbeinu called them rebellious ones. So the Ramban asks, what do you mean? There's another part that says, "Atem mamrisim ayisem Hashem." Right? You rebelled against Hashem. So I think the answer to that question is that there's a very big difference between saying you rebelled against Hashem or saying, "Listen, rebellious ones." Right? When you say that you rebelled, so you're saying you did something wrong. But when you call them with that expression, you call them, "You are right. You are bad. You are rebellious." That's a problem. And I think what the ikur problem is, it's a pgam in the emunah in Klal Yisrael. From Moshe Rabbeinu to say to the Jewish people, right, that chas v'shalom, of course, it's lefi dargosi, and not who are us. We're just trying to understand the limud that the Rambam is telling us, and limud that the Chazal tell us. Yeah, but if the leader is looking, if somebody is looking at the Jewish people as moirim, if forget about it. Then they're really going to be Moirim, like we said. We don't give them a chance. We don't, because that's not who they are. So I think also that's a pshat in Yan Lo Hemantim Vi. According to the Rambam, it's a little bit shreya. Like, what is that? How the Taina that says they didn't go into Israel is because you didn't put Lo Hemantim Vi Laktisheni. You didn't give them a muna to be Maktishmi. So if it's just a vart in calling them rebels and calling them, right? So how's that being a lack of a muna? I think the answer is, especially Al-Pi Rav Tzadik. Rav Tzadik says, that famous Rav Tzadik, that the first thing, you know, besides having a munah on Hashem, you have to have a munah in yourself. If you don't have a munah in yourself, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not able to serve Hashem if you don't believe in yourself. It's a very big yisayit stam kacha. People need to believe in themselves, and their koyach, that what they do matters. What they do is going to actually be significant. So, by saying to the Klal Yisrael, Shimu Naha Moirim, Moshe Rabbeinu Be'etzim was saying, like ruining their emunah in themselves. Like, okay, wait, so we're really messed up. We're really messed up. So there's no hope for us. And the melee, they can't have proper emunah in Hashem, lakdisheni. Yan le'emantim bi lakdisheni is because if you're lacking the emunah in Klal Yisrael, then you're lacking the emunah in Hashem. I think maybe that's a possible mahalach in the Al-Pi the Rambam's pshat. In any case, that's as Hashem, we should be zeicha to be maimon in ourselves, to be maimon klal yisrael, and the ikir akorim is maimon in Hashem. All is part of one. Hashem, I think the next time we'll continue. The rest of this is really just in the last paragraph, just like a sign off of what we saw. So as Hashem, I think we'll go back to the ikir sefer of Meimarom next week. As Hashem.